This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Sharitz and Shaoning. Now, Malaysia's assertion that it has nearly eliminated poverty is under dispute. Philip Alston, the UN Special Rapporteur on Extreme Poverty and Human Rights, has said that official figures were vastly inaccurate and do not reflect the realities on the ground. So Malaysia's official poverty rate dropped from 49% in 1970 to just 0.4% in 2016, which, if it's true, it would be a prodigious improvement.
So Alston, instead, he said that the official numbers relied on outdated measures. Poverty line remains at the same level for decades, despite increasingly high cost of living. He added that the analysis was done by independent groups, suggests that Malaysia has significant poverty and that its true poverty rate was about 15%.
In an interview on our Tuesday 9:30 a.m. show Spotlight, it was estimated by UNICEF that poverty rate could be about 22%, taking into account multidimensional factors. And you can download the podcast on our BFM app or also listen to it on Spotify. Meanwhile, Alston told a news conference at the end of an 11-day visit to Malaysia, the government's official figures would make it a world champion in eliminating poverty.
So for more on this, this morning we have on the line with us Philip Alston himself, the UN Special Rapporteur on Extreme Poverty. Thank you for joining us, Philip. So Malaysia's Economic Affairs Minister, Dato' Sri Azmin Ali, he's said that he stands by this official poverty figure of 0.4% and that it was derived from the Canberra Group handbook published by the UN itself. So can you help us understand why there may be a difference between their method and yours?
Well, the Canberra handbook, which is now 7 years old, addresses really only the question of methodology. In other words, how you should estimate the household income distribution. It doesn't actually set a particular level. It leaves huge discretion to countries. So you can follow the generally agreed methodology, in this case of the European the Economic Commission for Europe, which is a UN regional agency, but that doesn't mean that you are, in fact, setting a poverty line that is comparable to the approach adopted by most other countries.
And the current national poverty line is an income of about 980 ringgit a month. In your estimate, what would be a more reflective number in urban and non-urban areas?
Well, it's not really for me to come up with a figure. I'd have to do a lot more work, but there's a very distinguished economist named Martin Ravalian who has spent time at the University of Malaysia, and I think will be returning again soon, who has suggested that in contrast to the something like 7 ringgit a day per person of the present level, it should be closer to 50 ringgit a day, which would be a dramatic increase. That would be 7 times 980. Something like 6,700 ringgit a month. That would yield a poverty level of about 20%.
And Philip, what kind of policies could Malaysia be looking at to address poverty? What are some of these quick wins? Would it be a minimum wage?
Well, I think Malaysia needs to target more the B40 approach, and the BRIM and its successor are not particularly well targeted. Distributions go to people who are often quite wealthy. I think it needs to be a child-centred policy. The fact that there are 22% of children with stunting needs to be addressed. One of the big challenges is to spend more money on social protection. Malaysia spends less than any of its neighbours by percentage on social protection, which is stunning given how wealthy it is. And education, of course, is another high priority. The minimum wage, I think, can be a useful element, but it's certainly not the only solution. And it's a question of moving gradually and not dramatically on those sorts of initiatives.
Thank you so much, Philip. And that was Philip Alston, UN Special Rapporteur on Extreme Poverty. And he made an interesting point, which is that anything that the Malaysian government needs to do, if there are policies in effect coming into effect, there needs to be a child-centred policy. Mm. Because as he highlighted, the fact that we have 22% child stunting is a very high number here in Malaysia. We are higher than some third world countries, actually, in terms of the instances of stunting, particularly particularly in KL and Putrajaya, if I remember correctly. So that is something that needs to be addressed. And overall, the good thing is that there has been a lot of discussion ignited around what actually constitutes a poverty and what that means in different areas in the Klang Valley or in urban areas or even in Sabah and Sarawak.
Yeah, so when you mentioned about the Child Centre, that came after that question that you posed, Xiaoning, with regards to a low-hanging fruit. And it is, because it is much difficult to sort of figure out how is it do you want to address poverty when it comes to adults, because no matter how much fishing rod you give them, you know, no matter how you teach them how to fish, sometimes it's just difficult for the sort of older generations to sort of change. And hence, I think just focusing on children in that sense is sort of, you know, it's to salvage the situation. What you don't want this to again, you know, reoccur again in the future.
Which is why education is so important,
exactly.
Which is one of the points he brought out, right? Because if you don't provide the right education, how do you expect these people who are facing poverty to come out of their situation or improve their livelihood, I mean, or improve their life chances? So yes, I think definitely needs to spend more on education. But he didn't discount the use of B40 and BRIM. The question is it directed at the right people? He did
Absolutely.
Mention that it's not well targeted and maybe the rich are getting it or the well-off are getting it. So something needs to be re-looked at this more seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've had multiple conversations on BRIM, on Bantuan Sara Hidup, which is its newest iteration, and even on the traditional affirmative action race-based policies, right? Which is that maybe, you know, they were good policies when they were put forward, but in terms of enforcement, someone dropped the ball.
Yeah.
And things fell through the cracks, particularly with BRIM. And we've had conversations about the old NEPs, the new economic policies, and how at the end of the day, the people who really needed it most weren't actually the direct recipients of that affirmative action policy. And that's why if we do move towards a needs-based policy, we really do need to tighten enforcement and ensure that the same sort of problems don't repeat and that it's a failure of enforcement.
I mean, enforcement is one thing, though. I mean, there has been a lot of discussion whether or not direct giveaways are the most efficient and easier way. But again, I think he brought up a very interesting, again, child-centric and so forth, because it doesn't mean that you give them money, it will bring them out of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing. But one thing, let's look at it in another perspective. For example, what commercial industries could sort of help. For example, the talk about Gojek recently and what that would mean with regards to those who are in the B40 group who owns a motorcycle. They too, rather than relying on BRIM, they now have the ability to go out there and earn and put more money in their pocket with their own effort. You cannot discount the fact that being employed actually teaches you a lot of things, right? Being more responsible and, you know, customer service as well. When they send you deliveries and so forth, they have to be nice. And those are essential sort of skills.
Yeah, one of the things the government has to look at is creating job opportunities or means for people to make extra income, because wages in Malaysia as a whole are just too low. And if you have a family of four and you're just earning the minimum wage, honestly, you know, I mean, the minimum wage is 1,001. It is, I think, practically impossible to live in urban KL.
Yeah, and that's how much it costs for a meal. ringgit.
Yeah, exactly.
It can be, yeah. And so we were running a poll this morning asking you whether you think for the Klang Valley is 980 ringgit an appropriate threshold for poverty. And so far we've had about 90 votes. 22% said yes. 22% said no. It should be between 1,000 and 1,500 ringgit. 25% said between 1,500 to 1,999, just shy of 2,000. And another 30% said between 2,000 and 2,500.
And we also got a tweet from SA now. He said that, remember what Pakatan Harapan and Sadiq promised to us, especially the youth, minimum pay is 2,000. Now, this is good to put figures there, because it gives something for us to aspire to. I mean, 980 is a very low, you know, very low target for us to claim that we've succeeded as a country, isn't it?
Well, there's two things. There's the poverty level at 980 ringgit, and then there's the minimum wage at 1,001, which there is this move towards increasing the minimum wage gradually. That is a Pakatan Harapan promise, 2,005. But that has to be done on a gradual basis. I'm not saying it shouldn't be done, because it does have a shock on companies and economy.
Mm-hmm.
But we do need to move that band, you know, up as soon as possible.
And ultimately, obviously these things can't be done in isolation, right? So even things like BSH or BRIM, you cannot just give a cash handout but not provide people with the tools to which they can use to actually move themselves to promote their own social mobility. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.